it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Wednesday morning. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com will be with us later in the program. Got a lot to get into on the Titans front with him. We'll do that later in the show. Preds fans, don't miss Smashville Live tonight at Brewhouse South in Franklin at 6 o'clock. You can see your Preds star players up close and personal. Jonathan Marchessault, the guest tonight. That's tonight at Brewhouse South in Franklin at 6 o'clock. So looking forward to that. Joe, some news, I guess, on the NFL front. Tom Pelissero, among others, putting this out there, that the Minnesota Vikings have rejected multiple trade calls on J.J. McCarthy, telling other teams that they're moving forward with him as the quarterback. The team does plan to add a veteran, but they're not pursuing Aaron Rodgers at this time. So McCarthy, according to this tweet from Pelissero, entering the offseason as quarterback one for Minnesota. Now, entering the offseason as quarterback one, we knew, we don't really care about. Will he be the regular season quarterback one? Remains to be seen. But apparently at this time, according to Tom Pelissero, Joe, Vikings are not pursuing Aaron Rodgers.
So I'm confused that by any team thinking that if they were pursuing Aaron Rodgers, they'd have J.J. McCarthy in the trading block.
I guess it doesn't hurt to call.
I guess. But, like, you think that all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers, the Aaron Rodgers era begins now. I mean, it's a short-term thing until – that's how I always looked at it. But that's interesting in terms of – if that's true, they're done with pursuing him. What's his deal then? Is it Steelers or retire?
I mean, I would guess. I mean, Steelers or Giants or retirement. But again, like, what are we waiting on? You know, we're a week and a half into free agency. And look, there was reporting, and we talked about it earlier this week, that Rodgers wanted to play for the Vikings. There was not reporting that the Vikings were heavily interested in Aaron Rodgers. So, like, he can want to play for the Vikings. But if the Vikings don't want him, then, I mean, what's the holdup here? Like, make a decision. Either, like, clearly, Pittsburgh is waiting on him to see what he decides to do. The Giants, in the meantime, while they're waiting on his decision, have brought in, you know, Russell Wilson. They met with Jameis apparently yesterday. So, like, they're doing their due diligence at quarterback. But, like, if Minnesota doesn't want him, then Pittsburgh, to me, is the next logical step. I still don't know that I buy the retirement thing. But I guess with him, you never know.
Yeah, at some point it's going to happen. But I feel like it's going to be, like, some dramatic, like, he's going to turn it into, like, a two-hour special, like David Copperfield magic special, but it'll be Aaron Rodgers, like, retire while on three tabs of acid special or something like that.
Maybe so. Maybe so. So for now, J.J. McCarthy, QB1 in Minnesota, which I guess is when you didn't bring back Darnold, probably the way I thought it was going the whole time. Look, one thing that's clear, and, you know, we've talked about it with Charles, like, I don't think it's a secret. Like, they clearly love what they've seen from McCarthy behind the scenes. He's not taking a snap in an NFL game yet, so we'll see what that actually looks like. But, like, the idea that I'm with you, that they would trade him, like, if you're a team, I guess it doesn't hurt to call, but that was never within the realm of possibility.
So we're back
one
to
of the Titans called.
I don't know. Maybe. Well, if you're a Titans fan right now, who would you want? Would you want J.J. McCarthy or would you want Cam Ward?
I mean, it's pretty close, but
I'd probably go McCarthy.
I probably would too. But again, like,
still, they're both unknown.
I mean, Minnesota's, they're talking like, you know, he's some guy that's going to come in and be a top 10 quarterback in the league next year. Guy hadn't taken a snap yet, so we'll see. I mean,
had some great preseason throws.
He looked nice in the preseason. I mean, I've seen plenty of preseason heroes around the NFL, so we'll see what that looks like. But, yeah, I mean, I'd probably go McCarthy, but I do think it's close.
Yeah. Yeah, it, McCarthy, you know, to me, you know, Michigan had a lot going for it. It was a great example of a championship team that wasn't like the quarterback dragging everybody along and carrying everybody. But actually, I mean, if you watch the way he played in that season, I mean, he made big time throws when needed. And again, he is way better runner than I think people realize.
So Josina Anderson, Joe, put this out there last night, and I'm interested to get your thoughts on it. She had some evening notes to sift through last night. It says she was told that two quarterback names have come up in recent preliminary trade inquiries or internal discussions, and that's Kirk Cousins and Will Levis. Says Atlanta's been getting calls, and she heard that a third-round pick being potentially actionable on the Kirk Cousins front. The Cousins stuff is not surprising. We talked about that with Charles Robinson last week. Like, clearly Atlanta has a plan of, if you want Kirk Cousins, you're going to have to give us something in order to do it. She also said that the Titans would like to transition and that apparently they're having preliminary discussions on that front on Will Levis. Now, what would the interest level be league-wide in Will Levis? I have no idea. What are you getting back for Will Levis if you trade him? Probably something close to a bag of football. So it's not going to be anything overly substantial, but what do you make of that put out there by Josina Anderson, that two quarterbacks she's hearing in trade talks are Cousins and Levis?
Yeah, well, we've talked about Cousins, and I'm very interested in, you know, Charles tomorrow on that market. I'm very intrigued by the idea of Cleveland. I feel like, again, if you're the Falcons, you'd love to see Rodgers and the Steelers not work out and have the Browns and Steelers vying for Kirk Cousins. And to me, if you can get something significant, then it's worth the, you know, the roster bonus you just paid for that, you know? I mean, again, as we've talked about, I see the value in having that insurance too, when you have a guy like Penix who hasn't really proven a ton and who also is injury prone. But also, if you can get something, and I'd love to see that for Kirk to get an opportunity at one of those spots. And Levis, I think this was inevitable, right? Like, the way things look, it's they've got their QB2, and they're going to draft, we think, Cam Ward. And it's just there. It's just a, to me, it becomes a distraction and an unnecessary talking point every day if you're out there at training camp and Levis is in that camp. And people are like, well, what if he's better, you know, and all this stuff. I think it makes total sense. Very interested to know what team, maybe PK will have thoughts on this, what teams might be interested in him. I can see a lot of teams looking at his skill set and saying, hey, you know, bring him in here. All indications are he's a professional. He's going to work hard. He's going to be good in the locker room and, you know, see what can happen with no pressure on him and just let him keep developing.
Well, look,
that just can't happen here now.
Yeah, like, I've been very consistent on this from the moment the season ended last year. If you're drafting another quarterback, Will Levis does not need to be here next year. It makes no sense for him to be here, particularly now that you've gone out and you've got a backup. Now, I realize Brandon Allen is not an exciting backup quarterback, but he's going to be your backup. Like, there's this thought out there that I guess there could be a competition between Brandon Allen and Will Levis to be the backup quarterback. No, they brought in Brandon Allen to be the backup quarterback. So, like, Will Levis, I really have not understood this idea that a lot of Titans fans are throwing out there that, like, what if he's really good in camp? What do you do? Like, I will be very surprised if he's on the roster by the time training camp comes around here. I just think going back through the league, looking at these situations, it just doesn't make sense to keep him around. Like, I think – when you draft somebody to be your franchise quarterback and it clearly doesn't work, a lot of teams just move on after that. I think it's the best case for everyone involved, Levis, the Titans, everybody, to move on. And then the question is, can you get anything at all of substance back for him?
Well, especially when the next quarterback is the number one overall pick.
Exactly.
What that's a completely different situation than Levis, which was, wow, okay, well, he's still there. Let's go get him at the top of the second, and then you hope it works out. When you draft a quarterback number one overall, the entire franchise is now his franchise. It's like, that's what it is. The value of that pick, if you're going to devote that to this player, no other player at that position is anything but someone who's there to support that guy.
Yeah.
Period. Period, point blank, for the next few years. So your last hope at the position, again, is just a distraction.
Wes in Clarksville says, I know Levis has had some very bad moments, but do you see Cam Ward coming in and being better from the start? If Levis and Cam Ward were in the same draft, who would get picked first? You know, we talked about the draft profile earlier this week, Joe, and I said it, and I think if memory serves me correctly, you were with me at the time. I didn't love the Levis pick when they made it. I would have stayed away from it. And then we talked about it the day after, like, well, they've made it, so at this point you can't help but have an open mind and see what he does. I said earlier this week, and I fully stand by this, I think Cam Ward is a better prospect than Will Levis was coming out. That doesn't mean I think Cam Ward is a superstar, but I think Cam Ward would be drafted ahead of Will Levis. That's just me.
I do too. Now, if you threw Cam Ward into Levis's draft, I think he goes behind Bryce Young. I think he goes behind C.J. Stroud. And maybe he goes, you know, a little deeper in the first round. But I think he goes ahead of Levis too.
Yeah. So what does that mean at the end of the day?
And also Hendon Hooker should have been the number one overall pick, along with Joe Milton. But, you know, we can deal with that another time.
What does that mean at the end of the day? Nothing. I mean, we'll see what Cam Ward's able to do coming in here. But I do legitimately believe he's a better prospect than Will Levis was coming out of the draft. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a lot to get to on the quarterback front. We'll do that coming up next. Paul Kuharski will be with us later in the show. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 1025, 1063, the game. This week's Nashville's best deal is from Streetcar Taps and Garden. Patio season is here. Enjoy great food, cold drinks, and fresh air on Streetcar Taps and Garden's covered patio. Get half off a $30 gift card before they're gone at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. You're on 1025, 1063 The Game. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Nick Keezer, Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com will be with us later in the program, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Got one texter, Joe, that says, I don't understand why people are still holding on to the idea of Levis. He wasn't good his senior year at Kentucky. The draft slide was inevitable. I'd rather have Kyle McCord or Will Howard if they were in the same draft. On top of that, look at his decision-making. Titans fans are in love with mediocrity and will do anything it takes to justify bad picks, and that's what Levis was, a bad pick. Move on. This is from an unnamed texter on the text line who's fed up with Will Levis.
I will say there is a faction of Titans fandom that's like, you know, maybe I think a little too forgiving or a little too sunshiny on Levis at this point. You know, like Jeff from Nebraska is like, is he buns cheeks or dog water? Yeah, I don't know that he's any of those things, but I think we saw enough last year that you know this is. I mean, we're seeing like with the Titans. Their actions tell us they're seeing what we're seeing, right? Which is like, yeah, it's not gonna work out. It's not okay. I don't know that he's cheeks. I said it's almost like lukewarm soup, you know, just it's not quite good enough, you know. And maybe he can get there someday, but it's gonna be at another place. But there is a faction of Titans fandom that is kind of still holding on to this. Man, give him one more chance, and yeah, I don't buy that. Now I'm not necessarily on board with like Kyle McCord, that's the way to. He'd be better than him, right? You know, again, the unknown. I mean, Will Howard and Kyle McCord, I don't expect either of those guys to be starting quarterbacks in the NFL. We'll see, but I don't expect
it. I think, look, there's a faction of Titans fandom, and this is not just a Titans thing. I think it's a general sports fan thing that gets way too attached to, like, mediocre players. Like, you know, Dylan Radins, I think, was meeting with Seattle. I think he was meeting with the Seahawks. And I saw some comments under, like, that tweet, and I forget who had the tweet. But it was put out there that he was meeting with the Seahawks. And some people were like, well, he was a good player for us, man. I hope he does well. I was like, he's a total bust. Like, he ended up being a kind of okay, serviceable right guard when you drafted him to be a second-round starting right tackle. The guy was a bust. Like, sometimes it's okay to say, yeah, that was a terrible pick. It didn't work out. Look, I hope Dylan Radins ends up carving out a nice career for himself as, like, a backup guard somewhere. But, I mean, come on.
Yeah, well, he's like, it's one of those things where he did bounce back and he became decent. And again, he also became decent relative to a terrible offensive line, right? Like, he was not the biggest problem on a terrible offensive line, so it's like, great. But, yeah, you forget, like, what he was supposed to be. Yeah, that's not one of those where it's like, oh, my gosh, how do we lose him? But it happens sometimes.
LD from McMinnville says, how do you guys feel about the Steve McNair Cam Ward comp? I read that's the comp that Nate Tice from Yahoo Sports gave Ward. Really? I've not seen that. I don't know. Like, I don't know that Cam Ward screams Steve McNair to me. I think McNair was certainly more athletic than Ward was.
Much better. Much better, like, with his feet. I mean, McNair, you know, rip off a, like, that run at Tampa, remember? Like, that 60-yard run. I mean, like, Cam Ward doesn't do stuff like that. So, now, Cam Ward might, you know, I might have a little more sizzle with some of his throws. I don't know. I don't think they're too similar, but that's interesting. I didn't see that from Nate Tice. I like Nate Tice. He's good.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know that I necessarily see that, but I mean, look, if he ended up being Steve McNair, I think we'd probably all take that, right? I mean, good gracious.
Yeah. So, so I don't want to get into this today, but as we get into the Levis stuff, you know, now we get like Jeff from Aaron, Tennessee, saying everybody took up for Tannehill and he was bad and he was a veteran. Again, it's like, if you think that Ryan Tannehill's performance at quarterback for the Titans, take the whole thing, take the playoff game, take the whole thing, is in any way comparable to like what Will Levis did here like last year, like, I can't help you. I can't, like, that's, it's worlds apart. But whatever. I get upset at people who are going to like remember Tannehill as just some sucky quarterback when it's like, dude, no, that's not what he was. But I shouldn't even have brought this up. But it's your fault, Jeff from Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, Robert and Ashley talking about, you know, Levis. We've seen other quarterbacks be in terrible situations, come back and bounce back. Why wouldn't putting Levis in that same situation see similar results? Zach Wilson may be great in the situation. Darnold found himself last year. We have seen that. We've talked about, like, the revitalization of some of these quarterbacks, Joe. We also see, Joe, that quarterbacks that fail in their first stop and then fail again in their second stop, like, it's not just, like, automatic that, okay, well, you drafted this quarterback to be your franchise quarterback and it didn't work, but here in about 4 years, they're going to go somewhere else and play well elsewhere. That does happen. I mean, look, we talked about Mayfield today on the show, right? Like, he's playing really well for Tampa Bay. Geno Smith has been much better. Sam Darnold had a great year last year. We'll see what he does in Seattle. There are also quarterbacks, Joe, that people draft that are bad where they're drafted and then are bad elsewhere.
Yeah, exactly. It's still mostly going to be what it is. You know, we talk about the reclamation projects that work because we've had a few. But, like, it's still way more. Like, if you show you're bad or you're not a starter and you're a backup, that's what you're going to be.
And so, maybe Levis does go. I'm not discounting the idea that Levis could go somewhere else and maybe he eventually turns into, like, a decent NFL starter. But
yes.
Like,
but it's got to be somewhere else.
I would also say, though, like, if you think that he's going to go somewhere else and turn into, like, some stud quarterback, there's a lot in his game that I just don't know that you can get out of it. Like, I think he's prone to making bad decisions, and he clearly, for whatever reason, and Brian Callahan, we talked about this yesterday, has mentioned this multiple times, I think both directly and indirectly, he clearly has a problem taking what he does, what he learns, what he sees in the classroom, on the practice field, and applying that to game day. And that's a big problem if you're playing quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, look, it might happen for him at some other place. I'd be surprised if he becomes like a great player somewhere else. But sometimes you just have to have the change of scenery. I think both sides do. I think both sides would agree right now. Like, it's just better to move to a different situation.
Well, and it's, you know, we're gonna talk more in depth about this with Kuharski as it relates to Cam Ward. Like, all of the signs are pointing to Cam Ward right now. It doesn't guarantee that that's the way the Titans are going, but it does kind of make you look at the quarterback situation right now and you say, okay, if it's not Cam Ward, who's it going to be, right? Like, they're not really actively pursuing any of these other veteran quarterbacks. I think their action.
Well, they had Shedeur in.
And look, I mean, I guess you have to throw him in. But, like, their actions tell you that they're moving on from Will Levis. Like, the idea that Levis is going to be in contention to be a starting games for the Titans next year has just always been ludicrous to me ever since the season ended. I can't envision a scenario where they go back down that road.
Right. No, I mean, like Texture says, Levis made bad decisions, but he's largely getting scapegoated for the O-line and Callahan's offensive failure. Yeah, look, there's blame to go around, okay? But I guess I just, like, if you watched Levis last year and you want to sign up for more of that, again, I don't disagree that he got put in bad spots. He didn't have a good situation around him. But I think there was still enough that just to isolate him to say, yeah. And again, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, the Titans would agree, as we are seeing with their actions. And I think we'll probably see with a trade for not much coming back.
Jeff says, Tannehill lost us the only chance of a Super Bowl in the last 15 to 20 years, and y'all took up for him to the very end.
Right, but how did they get there? Like, why were they there? They lost Derrick Henry, the defense, but also Ryan Tannehill.
Well, think about what we're talking about. We're talking about a lost chance to get to the AFC title game and host that. And now
as
a three-win football team is the worst team in the league. Don't you think there's little bit of difference in quarterback play?
Right. Also, won two playoff games. Got to the AFC championship game. I think scored 24 points as quarterback in the first half of the AFC championship game. You know, Derrick Henry's the best player, but if you watch those games and you're like, it's just all Derrick Henry and nothing else, then you didn't watch those games.
Yeah, like I don't want to turn into a Tannehill Bobo here because –
These people force it. They're forcing me to do this.
I said they should have signed Brady, even though Rexrod hates Brady. But that's just me. But, like, I mean, the guy was pretty good. Was he great? No. And you want the great player. But Tannehill largely was pretty good until it fell apart at the end. So I don't think that's too crazy to say.
If Cam Ward could be Ryan Tannehill's performance in 19, again, Ryan Tannehill, 33 touchdowns, 5 picks, all the numbers. Look at them in 2020. If you could get that from Cam Ward for a long period of time, you would absolutely crawl on your knees and sign up for it right now.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts to get to on the Cam Ward and Titans front. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode coming up later this hour. Robbie and Rexrode, 1025, 1063 the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexrode, 1025, 1063 the game. Brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Nick Kieser, Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com with us here on the program. PK, what's going on?
Good morning, gentlemen. Good to be with you. Good morning, Nashville.
Rexrode live in Lexington, Kentucky, covering the NCAA tournament.
Good for you, Joe.
Unfortunate that he can't see Kuharsky in person.
I read at The Athletic he's a Titans beat writer. So I'm very confused about what he does. And he doesn't have – I write to him like this is offensive and inaccurate. It's basically a lie. And he's very ho-hum about it. The Athletic doesn't care about sourcing or inaccurate titles for people.
Joe, your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I'll mention that for you, Paul.
No, you won't.
No, I'll send it up the flagpole.
Why is it not an issue? Seriously. Like
to
mislabel writers. Why is it? I'm a subscriber. I'm a concerned subscriber.
Yeah.
Why is it not an issue?
I appreciate that. I didn't say it's not an issue. I mean, obviously, someone made a mistake doing that. It's happened before, even like before my previous job of this. You know, I've had to be like, yeah, you know, I'm not really a Titans beat writer. We don't have one. I'm a Nashville columnist, and they've changed it. So, you know, it's a busy time for me, Paul. Have a little grace.
Yeah, okay. Titans beat, right?
So, PK, you had a bit of a different spin on the Will Levis conversation that we were having the last couple segments.
I mean, on the off chance that the Titans do roll it back with Will Levis, it's not because they think, Will Levis is the magical solution to our thing or Will Levis has earned more time. It's because they've decided that they're not going to address quarterback this year. Maybe he gets better. Maybe we can refine him somewhat. Maybe he'll be, hopefully he'll be more careful with the ball and more accurate and everything. But it's because they're going a stopgap route. It's not because they think he's their future. I mean, they hope he'd stumble into playing better,
yep.
but it would be because they're drafting a quarterback in 2026 instead of 2025, not because, as some of these callers or texters are saying, they've decided that, you know, last year was some big aberration and that he's their guy and they have this massive faith in him. And I think Will Levis in a trade would get you a pick swap from 7 to 6, or they might be done with their 7, so, next year, 7 for 6 or something like that. And I don't know how many teams, you know, it's a very preliminary thing. Preliminary thing means, you know, maybe they've asked a couple teams, are you interested? If everybody says no, that doesn't mean much. The only team you could really see valuing him is Jacksonville because of the coaching connection to Kentucky. And I haven't looked to see who Trevor Lawrence's backup is, but
it was Mac Jones. I don't know who it is now.
Yeah. So, I mean, if they have no one, it's conceivable they could want him, but they've got a lot of holes in their roster too to address.
So, PK, you've been, I'd say hesitant to embrace what appears to be the case, but it isn't necessarily the case. But, like, I think I asked you this last week. I'm asking you again this week. Are you now more convinced that it's Cam for the Titans?
I mean, more, but I'm not all the way there by any means. I still think there's a scenario where they stopgap it, where they don't love him and they don't say, well, we're a team that needs a quarterback and we have the number one pick and there's a quarterback, so we'll take him. If they don't love him, I don't think that they force him.
And it just seems like there's a scenario where they don't love him. Here suggests they do. I mean, again, I don't know that, but it looks that way, right?
I think it's conceivable that they didn't love anybody that was available and that they don't love him. And they don't
love anybody is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, I think it's conceivable. And I think it's conceivable that it's just a dud year for quarterback for them. I do think I just forgot where I'm going. I mean, I hate Brandon Allen.
As a quarterback.
Yeah. No, I mean, I said this last week. I think I was ready to write. The fact that they offered Mason Rudolph something to come back is a horrific, horrific indicator of their expectations there. I'll just say it again quickly. I think I said it last week. This guy was brought in to be a settling force. He came in to play behind Will Levis. And when Will Levis turned the ball over too much and was pulled, he turned the ball over at the exact same rate that Will Levis turned the ball over. And they said, let's have more of that. That is a pathetic indicator to me of their thinking.
Now, I am totally with you on the chance that the Titans look at the quarterback situation and they say, you know what? We just don't really love Cam Ward. We don't love any of the free agent options out there to be our answer moving forward. I guess what I would have a hard time with if I'm a Titans fan is you're telling me there's nobody out there that was a free agent that you like more than running Will Levis back out there next year? Because that's a tough sell for me.
Well,
unless you're just trying to tank without doing it, without saying it.
I think there's a little – I hesitate to use the word tank, but a little contentedness with another growth year and this issue where they would have had trouble attracting, like, pick your favorite one. I don't think they like Darnold, but whoever your other favorite one is, I've had this conversation with Blake Bedingfield, and I 99 out of 100 times you could get the guy if you pay him the most money. But this is a bad situation for a quarterback to walk into. Bad team, Callahan, you know, without stability. So you're a veteran quarterback. If you walk in with a new coach, you say, well, I helped set the culture and everything, and I'm with him. But you come in with a second-year coach who's got a bad record and a lot of people are presuming is in trouble. And what are you walking into really in terms of, you want to go somewhere where you feel like you can win. This isn't that place. And you might be under a new coach in a year who might have no interest in you. And in one of these 2 years, they're going to be drafting a first-round quarterback who is going to take your job inevitably. So, and very particularly not an attractive destination, even if they wanted you. And this Kirk Cousins thing, I mean, I just don't understand it. If Atlanta moves him now, why did they pay him a $10 million bonus?
Well, maybe I guess just could they get like actual quality draft capital from one of these teams?
So you're paying $10 million for the third round pick that the Titans don't have.
Well, what's $10 million, man? The cap goes up 50 mil a year. Who cares? Yeah. There's a bunch of billionaires.
No, I agree. But Atlanta's not known for its cap management, which has stymied them a lot. And why not just bust your ass to get the deal done before the $10 million? I mean, it's not like there aren't a couple teams out there that could really use Kirk Cousins while Aaron Rodgers holds the league hostage. Enough with this guy already. Set some deadlines and move on.
It is possible with Cousins. Like, you know, we've talked about it, but maybe they actually aren't doing the trade thing, or they're listening if it's anything that blows them away. But like, I don't think it's like the worst idea to have insurance for Penix's health and performance, you know, and hoping that Cousins just went downhill health wise last year and that there's still a good player in there. I don't think that's the craziest thing.
None of that's the craziest thing until you tell me it costs $40 million.
Yeah. It is very expensive. Hey, good for him, though. It's a lot of money to be the backup quarterback.
I mean, I guess you look at it as like, well, our quarterback spot costs $4 million. Right.
You're not paying anything for the other guy, so.
Yeah, good point. 615-737-1025, our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode coming up next. Paul Kuharsky with us the rest of the program. We got a lot to get into on the Titans front. We'll take your questions for PK as well on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rexrode, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Cut it. So.
And I'm going to egg your house.
I'm a loser, baby. So why don't you
egg your house? It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. You can check it out every morning on the program. Paul Kuharsky is with us. Joseph, the floor is yours.
I think that's all. It's always fitting because at some point, PK and I, this will be our post-retirement.
It's a business.
Yeah, our business.
I'll say it's going to be huge.
Yeah.
A criminal operation that we advertise. It's right off the bat, we didn't really think it out.
We'll never see it coming.
It's criminal-ish, though. You know what I mean? I mean, it's kind of like on the borderline. I mean, a lot of
things but with those Karens out there.
Yeah, that's fair.
Egg the wrong house. That's all it takes.
But God, it's going to be fun faces. With how fleet of foot we are. Yeah. The way we'll be dancing around these yards. The way we'll throw out our arms with these eggs.
Going to be glorious.
Wow, Rexrode's lying on rehab. The ground.
We're going to rehab in the afternoons. We'll egg overnight and rehab in the mornings.
Egg and ice. All right, we're going to talk college basketball today, of course, so get excited. But I there's something that's happening. First of all, it's going to happen in this tournament, and we're going to get mad about it. And I think it's going to be the last time. I hope it's going to be the last time. It has to be the last time. This is going to be the last year of all this review crap, which has gotten so out of control. It's absolutely mind-numbing. And if anybody watched the end of Michigan-Wisconsin, the Big Ten championship game on Sunday, you know, everybody's waiting for the bracket. And you got let's watch the end of this 53-51 game. Three straight out-of-bounds calls. One of them was like, yeah, we all saw it. It went off the Wisconsin guy. Nope, got to review. 77 seconds of that game took 15 minutes. It's already a thing in basketball. I mean, people who hate basketball, who I always argue with in my life, are always like, basketball, the last 2 minutes takes forever. That was before this crap. That was because of timeouts and fouling. So you already had that. This stuff has gotten out of control. The great example, of course, is Vanderbilt, Texas A&M this year. I think it was 36 minutes for like the final 244. It's just out of control. But this is what the officials... This is what they are charged with doing. So they do it. I ripped the SEC, Robbie. We've talked about how we cannot allow Greg Sankey to have his allocations in the college football playoff. But let me just say right now, Garth Glissman and the SEC might just save us. SEC, baby, let's go. Garth wrote the rule in the NBA, which is that he wrote the challenge rule. He used to be in the NBA. He's been with the SEC for less than 2 years now. He's the associate commissioner for basketball. He wrote the rule in the NBA, which was getting, if anybody watches the NBA, seven, 8 years ago, it was the same crap. Every single call, both benches are bitching. Review this, review that. Okay, screw it. You go to a review system, that's it. You get, it was initially one review. I like what they've done with it. One review, if you get it right, you get another. Great. That's what college basketball must do. That's what the SEC is trying to make happen. That's their proposal. There's only one thing in the way of it, and it is these freaking coaches. And I all due respect to the coaches. I mean, they're the stars. There's the stars of the sport. You know, a lot of great people in that profession and a lot of great coaches out there. But too many of them that I've already heard saying, nah, we got to get calls right. I don't want this. We need calls right. No, you need to, again, this is like the SEC in football. Think of the product at large. You have to be able to see the forest through the trees. You have to be able to understand that if you're just going to wipe out swaths of the country, you're going to hurt the overall product over time. In this situation, if you don't understand that people are turning away because it's gotten so bad, you're hurting your product. And frankly, college basketball coaches, your product, it's not like college football, which is the second most popular sport in the country. It's down the list a little bit. You don't need to hurt your product anymore. So the coaches need to stand down and shut up on this, because that's the only way this doesn't happen when the Rules Committee meets in May, and it should go through. There's some other proposals. The NIT is trying to challenge things, but it's like it takes timeouts away, and you still get endless challenges. You need to have a finite number of challenges, and that's it. You save them for that key moment, and if you have one, use it. Great. If you don't, sorry, refs make mistakes. Coaches make mistakes. Players make mistakes. Human beings make mistakes all through these games. We've lived our entire lives with officials making mistakes and no recourse, and replay is good, but it can be too much of a good thing. And in this case, it's gotten way out of control. Let's fix it right now. Coaches, don't screw this up.
Let me tell you a secret, Joe. The NBA may have cleaned it up. The last 5 minutes of an NBA game or two minutes still take 20 minutes. So may clean this up in college basketball. It will create a void or a vacuum that college basketball will find a way to fill, and the last 2 minutes will still take 17 minutes.
Again, if it's because of timeouts, because of fouling and people at the free throw line, okay. I mean, look, if that's a problem for you, I guess watch another sport. I mean, that's like the normal history. Okay, great. Bye. We don't go away. I don't care. But those are normal things in basketball that I think anybody who loves basketball can live with. And frankly, some of these timeout stoppages you set up, I mean, last night the play for Alabama State was incredible, out of a timeout. Sometimes these free throw line, the drama there, you miss, and then you come down the other side, hit a shot. Those are all normal basketball things. Reviewing every little tiny little incremental thing in a game, that's not normal. That's got to be fixed. If that gets fixed, the product is much better for it. You can go watch spring training.
Well, I agree. And also, like, I think America's big question is, what the hell are you looking at?
Right.
We see one replay. We see it hit off that guy's leg. Boom.
Make a
call.
It
should be a two-second review. So the review system doesn't necessarily have to be changed. The reviewers have to be better. Like, what are they? Are they over there also discussing the wedding present that's appropriate? Are they having the mound conversation for Bull Durham?
Candlesticks are nice.
Yeah. I mean, it should be 2 seconds. Oh, it hits off his leg. Okay, well, your ball.
And the other part of this is, and Joe, I'm largely with you, but this goes back to the rant I had on Monday of stop missing so many calls, right? Like, if you're a coach, you're freaking out because you're missing, like, the college basketball officials are missing way too many calls. Like, there's got to be a better way to get them to be more accurate. And I said it, I think basketball is probably the most difficult sport to officiate. So there's going to be some missed calls that way. But another big problem of this is you get to the review, Joe, and then you look at it and you're like, oh my God, they did miss that. And it's another missed call. Just chalk it up.
Yeah, and look, that's a perma rant, which, you know, I don't have time to get into now. But yes, you're right, and that's why you pay them more. You make them full-time employees. You don't have them work seven games a week during the season and wear themselves out. You develop more good officials. You don't keep having, like, I mean, you know, the SEC's got some, I mean, Pat Adams, I mean, you know.
It's brutal.
He's getting really good game. I don't get it. I feel like he misses so many calls. So there's a lot of things you have to do, but mostly you have to invest in this very important part of these games.
We got a lot to get into good with rant, PK Joe. On the Titans hey, front. That's
rare.
Two consecutive rants
yes.
that Kuharsky has given the stamp of approval to.
Something's
Rex
in the water.
We're on a run.
Well, now that he's a Titans beat writer again, he's gotten good.
He's just all over it. We'll have more with
Let
Kuharsky
me tell you about this
up,
Titans beat and how much it pisses me off.
Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Hey, guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.